ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Okay, thank you for coming to Bhagavad Gita class. I want to know, is anyone here who is now chanting Hare Krishna regularly? Please don't feel afraid or to say. It's just to know if I have to be. You all chanting Hare Krishna? Okay. So, yeah. Madhu, you want to leave class? Huh? You sure? No problem. You can give anyway, you know. You want. Okay. Anyone? Okay. You want to talk? Since you're senior devotee, you like to talk? Okay. So today's verse is actually a very wonderful verse. And it's full of many concepts there, and is talking about very high platform of devotional service. Actually, to my understanding, is the highest platform of samadhi, I think, is complete meditation on the form of the Lord. Sorry, is the microphone. There are many qualities of the highest type kind of devotee that actually one should take shelter of as a disciple of the lotus feet of a Shiguru, like that person, like is described here. One should practice sadhana bhajan by accepting a spiritual master under the directions of a genuine guru who is actually following these attributes, these qualities. So let's maybe we can meditate on these qualities first of all. So a person who is not envious, who is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Yo mat bhakta same priyaha. Priyaha is very dear to the Lord. Santusta is always satisfied. Santusta satatam yogi. Yatatma drida nischayaha. Yatatma, self-control. Yatatma. Drida nischayaha, with determination. Arpita, engage. Mana, mano buddhir, mind and intelligence fixed on me. Maitra is friendly. Karuna is merciful or kind. Nirmama, with no sense of proprietorship. Nirahankaraha, without false ego. Is equal, sama, in dukkha and sukha. Is forgiving, sami. So wonderful qualities are described here. And the purport Prabhupada make many points. Maybe we can go through that a little bit, because this is so nice to read, actually. So let's read the purport maybe in more detail. Fashion. Coming again to the point of pure devotional service, Prabhupada is saying, the Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee in these two verses. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone, nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds, so it is better to suffer than to protest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, it is stated that tes nukampam sumak susamik samano unjana evatma kritam vivakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. I'm just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is also always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. Nirmama means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pains and trouble pertaining to the body because he knows perfectly well that he is not the material body. He does not identify with the body, therefore he is freed from the conception of false ego and is equipoised in happiness and distress. He is tolerant, he is satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty, therefore he is always joyful. He is a completely perfect mystic because he is fixed in the instructions received from the spiritual master. And because his senses are controlled, he is determined. He is not swayed by false argument because no one can lead him from the fixed determination of devotional service. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord, so no one can disturb him. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord. Such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare. But a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regulative principles of devotional service. Furthermore, the Lord says that such a devotee is very dear to him, for the Lord is always pleased with all his service activities in full Krishna consciousness. I was thinking how in Srila Rupa Goswami, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion, summarized by Prabhupada, is explained how actually the qualities that one develops by, there are six qualities by practice of devotional service, and we were actually recently we talking about this, and these qualities are, you know, which qualities, six qualities means that one is these are the six qualities and the nature of instruction of favorable for devotional service. But I was actually now thinking about is called Kresagni, means that one isn't it? Kresagni means that one burns all material miseries. One gets completely free from distress, and then let's see if we can remember. Who knows these six qualities described in Nectar of Devotion? It's Kresagni, and then there is Sudurlava, is very rare. Devotional service is very rare. And then another quality is that devotional service is derived even the Brahmananda, the pleasure of liberation. Is actually devotional service is controlling the Lord, because you can only control the Lord by giving yourself to him in love. And there are more qualities, two more I think. It's full of concentrated bliss. It's very, very blissful, devotional service. because it's situated in the self. It's relishing rasa. It's actually experiencing, as in Bhagavad Gita in the chapter 6, there's one verse that we just read before, that is explaining that Sahasrara devotee is an unbounded transcendental happiness, because it's completely detached from the sufferings of the body and is completely immersed in the rasa of loving the Lord in different rasas, friend or some father or mother and lover, or even servant. It's very experiencing a great happiness with transcendental senses. It's always meditating on the Lord. He's meditating on the, he's seeing the Lord always within his mind. And there are different stages of devotion, and the highest stages which are described here, before one enters in the transcendental realm, when actually is actually experiencing the transcendental world, is actually there in the spiritual planet with transcendental personalities. Before that, every time when you achieve Sudhanam, when you chant Hare Krishna in a pure state, without offenses, then you can actually, every time that you chant Hare Krishna, the Lord appears within the mind. So that is previous stage to entering, losing external consciousness, and just entering into the experience there with the spiritual body, the spiritual rupa. So that is actually really, really high. But before that, we need to, of course, every one of us is in a different stage, isn't it? But it's described that there are different levels, different nine processes of devotional service. Nine processes. I mean to say that first of all we have Shraddha, faith, and then we develop by accepting a spiritual master, and we practice Vajana Kriya, following his instructions. We engage in sadhana, and then we get the stage, which is very long stage. We cleanse the heart from all anarthas, unwanted things, material desires. We purify the heart from all these things that are described here: sense of proprietorship, false ego, the mind. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we are distressed. So with this sama, equanimity, from envy, described here also. For we develop forgiveness. All these qualities, we become satisfied like that. So this is it's not easy, because so many millions of lifetimes absorbed in the false consciousness of the egos of the body. So we actually, it is not, this is the fun, is still, even you unplug it, it still takes time until we get free from this low consciousness. Yeah, actually we cannot get to the highest stage if we need to understand that many things before, and it is a gradual process. And after that, one is fixing consciousness, and then after you get nista, and then ruchi means taste. You develop taste, more and more taste, and then that develops in attachment for Krishna, shakti, and finally bhava, and which is the preliminary stage of love of God. It's compared like a sun in the morning, that maybe you see is dark, and then suddenly it appears. That is actually the rays. Still, sun is not appear in the horizon, but it's just the rays. That is bhava. So that means the Lord is still haven't appeared, but you can experience those emotions of love. So deep attachment and deep taste are already there. So now it's great emotions for the Lord. And finally prema, pure love, where the Lord fully manifests. And then you have to come back to this material, repeated birth and death. So these are the qualities of a pure devotee, whose mind and intelligence are fixed on the Lord. And that person is very dear to the Lord. Therefore, Of course, a pure devotee is not getting offended because he's very merciful, is understanding actually that the situation and the fallen nature of so it's, we should not offend a pure devotee, of course, and this is very important to avoid offenses, and we should take shelter of such a personality, which is not easy to find in this world. Which is not easy to find. Luckily, we have these books written by Prabhupada. We should take shelter of them, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and many other books by the Acharyas. Of course, it's not good to jump too quickly to this, because we have to be pure. Because if we read maybe these books where the pastimes of the Lord are described in great detail and so many, it's called Rasika. So that means if we jump there, because we're not cleansed of lust, greed, anger, and these low qualities, then those qualities may arise in our heart, and that is actually is worse than if we don't read them, because it's offensive towards those pastimes. So it's better to purify the heart and to engage in service humbly and respectfully, try to respect the devotees of the Lord and try to serve them and try to appreciate their good qualities and try to be happy when they are doing well and to support them and to also try to preach, to give this knowledge to others. So we are running out of time. I'd like to know if you have any question or any comment that you'd like to make. Anybody? Madhu Upadhyay? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it's a verse that is very important and should be taught, actually, I think, as soon as possible, although a person, because we are so conditioned, actually, the mind is so powerful that even though you may read the verse, you may read even the whole Bhagavad Gita many times, still, if you're not given the understanding by the Lord, sometimes it takes years and years until you get full, and you can practice that. You can actually put in practice that verse, because to be fully surrendered in mind, intelligence, and words and acts, body is very difficult, to be honest, because of that strong influence of the material energy, and especially if you're living in an ashram, or in a community with. That's why it's so important to practice sadhana bhakti, because sadhana bhakti takes you away from the mind, strong mind. So, and then you can see that it may be you have a tough day or you having difficulties at some point, but still because of your practice, you have to go to Mangalarati and then you read the books, and then you do your service, and then the next thing, always there. You have to do something else, and then in this way, you can actually proactively gain, as Lord Krishna says, in the Bhagavad Gita third chapter, by regulating the senses. Arjuna is asking, But what is it that you get impelled to doing sinful activities, even unwillingly? I don't want to do it, but still you feel forced by the strong influence of the mind. It's like a wind, you know. But how do you do that? Lord Krishna says, by curving, by you know, being stronger than this lust, curving this sesamal enemy of self-realization, which is known as lust, by at the very beginning, regulative practice. At the beginning, you control the senses by that by the sadhana, you know. And by this sadhana, we are able to gradually purify the mind, purify the senses. But yes, definitely, you know, a person who is able to give obeisances, respectful obeisances with you entirely, with your whole being, you know, with your mind, with your intelligence, with your body, with your words, you know, fully mean. I mean, that actually, according to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, according to the teachings of Prabhupada, Parampara, it means that it is to the Lord in the temple, undoubtedly, but it is to the devotees, you know. That means not to commit offenses, not to criticize the devotees, and to be able to withdraw the mind from that situation and to be able to understand, okay, here is a greater picture, you know. So I need to control myself and not to criticize, not even within my mind. And that's not easy. Especially in this Kali Yuga we are, you know. So, because of such a fallen, sinful society, which is not guided by Brahmins, for example, like it used to be before, you know, in a very strong way. So now it's like that. So it's very difficult to apply this verse, actually. It is difficult, but yeah, we should endeavor to do that and to be detached, you know, be detached from these situations. So somebody is chastising us, we don't accept chastisement, you know, or something like that. We are protesting, and Kriya Prabhupada is very clearly saying, you know, we just read somewhere that, we just accept, okay, here there is a higher force, you know. Here is not just me and my, you know, and my ego and my self-centeredness, you know, and I'm the Lord and nobody can say anything to me, or things like that. We should be, you know, it's not easy, you know, it requires so much really, really control and so like that. So, yeah. It's true, Madhu, you are right. This verse is very important and it is already done, but it should be known from the very beginning, you know. So it's, because if you know that when things like that happen, if you learn this verse, you know that you should pay obeisances to the Lord and say, okay, this is happening because of my past misdeeds, so I'm just giving you my obeisances and my respectful with my words, my Lord, you know. And I'm suffering so much, but still, you know, I surrender unto you because I know that this is because of my past misdeeds, my past karma. I behaved badly in the past, so it is fair. It must be like this, you know. I must go through this and then I know it's just temporary, and I should tolerate it, and then giving us oasis and like that, you know. So even within your mind, yeah, this is wonderful practice that we're doing here, actually. So, yeah. Any other question or comment or any? Sadhana bhakti. Good question. Thank you for asking, Prabhu. Sadhana bhakti is the regulations that we practice in order to raise the consciousness to a higher stage where you experience devotional love for Krishna spontaneously, you know. So that is very high. That spontaneous love is rare. So, but it is possible to rise to that stage by following a spiritual program, you know, like for. Normally, it is included meditation. For example, we chant japa, we chant this mantra, And we wake up in the morning at like 4 o'clock, we have 4:30 arati, and then we meditate. All the prayers are meditative prayers. We chant to Lassi, or we chant to the Guru Puja, we chant to the Guru, we chant in front of the deity. So we try to meditate, you know. We meditate, and we are practicing, you know. We attend to different programs during the day, and the service also. We perform seva for the Lord, and that is sadhana. Well, sadhana and service. You know, and in this way you can actually overcome the influence of material energy, and the spirit soul awakens to the natural state, because we are actually in this world we are experiencing is an experience that is not us, you know. It is just like a function of like a theater kind of thing, like now I am from India, I'm from Spain, Holland, or Croatia, wherever, different countries. You experience families, different experiences from your karma. But actually, we identify with these experiences within this dream. But actually, the reality is not that. The reality means your relationship with God, with Krishna, and that exchange of love between you and the Lord. So by practicing sadhana, you awaken that. Because why? Because the Lord, by His bliss, your endeavor, and is revealing to you all these things, you know, to the point that is in a very, very high state. The knowledge of who you are is revealed by the Lord. You know, like Sanatana Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan in India, direct disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's like 500 years ago, more or less. He was saying to the Lord, Chaitanya, I don't know who I am. I just don't know. And he was very high posted in the government of Bengal, and he knew so many languages, you know, Persian and Sanskrit and Bengali, other languages. And he was a prominent personality, materially speaking, and everyone was giving him reverence and respect. But he himself, he was very humble, and he was considering himself very fallen, you know. And he was asking the Lord, I think himself great, but actually I don't know even who I am. You know, like Socrates also, this Greek philosopher, who is actually Prabhupada was saying that he was in a Brahman platform. In a platform where you can distinguish between the soul and the body, and then he was saying also that all the sages or all the people in Greece they saying that I'm the most wise man, but I don't think I am wise. You know, so what he did is he went to visit all these sages that were saying this to him, thinking like this about him. And then he visited them all, and then after all, at the end, he thought, actually I may be the wisest one, because I know I don't know anything, but when I visit all these sages, actually they think themselves that very knowledgeable, you know, they think that I know so much. So that is a sign that actually that because I at least recognize that I don't know. So that is, it may be the case that I know more than them just because of that. So yeah, Sanatana Goswami is the same situation. He actually, this is the truth, that we don't know who we are, you know. So by this sadhana bhakti, by practicing, by chanting Hare Krishna, you know, so as many rounds as possible, then we awaken to this, you know, by offering, be given in charity to Krishna or doing something for Krishna. So then gradually the real knowledge is awakened, you know, by accepting a spiritual master, by following the instructions of the spiritual master, and like that, and following the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the purpose of sadhana bhakti. Bhakti, there are two stages. Now it's just finishing because there are bhajans. But I just had to explain this point. Yes. There is sadhana and raganuga. So first is regulated, you know, and following like this, even if it's difficult, but still you carry on. And then Raganuga is just, as I said at the beginning, you know, it's this stage where you spontaneously, you just want to do it. Now the mind is telling you, I don't want to do it, I don't want to wake up in the morning, I don't want to. Sometimes, you know, it's difficult, oh, look at person this person that, whatever. But then you come to the stage where you're transcending all these things, you just don't mind. It's like when you love someone, you know, like mundane love between woman and man. They are so happy at the beginning that they don't mind about everything else, you know. They just want to see the other person. So in the same way, you just want to, you immerse in love for Krishna. So yes, you don't care about what other people say to you or what happens to you, just because you're driven by that feeling, emotion. So in the same way, this is, Raganuga means, Raganuga Bhakti is very high consciousness where you actually, these emotions towards the Lord, in the spiritual platform, you know, the platform of the soul, then you are actually so satisfied and so enthused that you just transcend all the mundane affairs, you know. So, like that. So, yes. Anything else? So I think I'm ready for Vajans. So let's listen to these guys. You know how there's some taste also. But okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. All goes to Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
I'll just turn around and face Prabhupada and then we'll continue with the kirtan.